4833. I'm also looking for a producer for this show. If anyone wants to be more closely associated with the show and do some work on it, I'm looking for that. And if you can, you can put in your bids at 423-4833. We have an incoming call here.
Hi there. Is this a producer calling in?
Yeah, got your tape rolling.
Oh, you are the one. So, any other comments other than your fine reassurance there?
Oh, not too much. I don't know anything more going on. Michael, I was having a good time listening to Mr. Schmidt. He really will make a good candidate. He goes to a lot of meetings, like, you know, you were speaking, mm-hmm. and he works with at the meetings, goes to them, works hard at the meetings with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he doesn't just go for coffee and donuts and steak dinners and
the, parade
you
around.
Know, no, he the golf club and the anyway, special places, you know, that no one gets to go. But he works real hard. He was at Texas Instrument fighting for the homeless, you know, with us there to be able to park in the area. I know he was in working a lot on that.
By the way,
I
got a report from activist Jerry Henry yesterday about a man being beaten downtown recently. Number of apparently violent incidents along Pacific Avenue. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, there have been a couple. Oh, about 3 weeks ago or so, I have heard of a couple of things, and I'm not real sure if I know one of them. I'm not real sure. I hate to say it over the phone, but I think one of them might have been Billy. You know, Billy. What do you call him?
Billy Berkeley Billy.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
The name that they gave me that I heard given.
I heard something similar. I'm not quite sure. I've kind of been a little disorganized in the last couple of weeks as far as keeping my notes together, so I'm not on top of this, as you can see, and I do appreciate, by the way, you're taping the show.
And also there's another thing for veterans. I don't know if anyone's on the...
Tell me.
And I hope it's still going. What days are they doing their breakfast? Yeah, Wednesdays and Thursday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
They were serving breakfast, but a lot of people can go. It's at Veterans Hall.
What time?
At 8 o'clock is when it starts. They serve breakfast, and then they have a lunch also.
That's the Veterans Hall, the top of the mall, right across
right.
from
that's
the 10
eggs,
o'clock.
That's eggs, sausage, you know.
Next to the post office.
Bacon, eggs.
Wednesday morning,
whatever.
8 o'clock for veterans. And, you know, whip out your old
You can be homeless,
uniform.
Too. I think it's for everyone, but I'm not sure. It's at the Veterans Hall, and it may kind of be veteran-specific if it really gets, but I don't think anyone really asks.
Well, I want to remind you there is a meeting today of, I guess the ACLU is running it at Loudoun Nelson Center on members of the Death Penalty Speak Out. And for some people, homelessness is a death sentence, you know, and given the kind of pressures that people are under, we see this, you know, in terms of the casualties each year. And I think I've been trying to get the ACLU to get off its, you know, paunchy liberal butt and do something about the sleeping ban locally for a long time, and it's of course not possible. Bob Caron is
well, he didn't do anything.
Doesn't seem to be able to do nothing. You know,
he's kind of like absurd. I don't know what he is. He's like some satellite out there that you know is pointing the wrong direction.
Similarly, with you know other people who are you know who are members of the organization. Apparently, that's sort of like you know getting on the homeless. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to say the Homeless Issues Task Force, because I actually found that the people on the Homeless Issues Task Force did do a lot of work and did try to get proposals forward, and then, of course, the problem was they never carried it beyond the
discussion
stage.
Well, you know, you gave all the information to City Council, and City Council just like, you know...
Right, City Council
okay.
did its expected, you
just
know,
like,
oh, that's
you know,
nice, next issue.
In one ear, out the other. I don't
right.
even know...
I'm still
know.
Waiting for Linda LaMaster to throw her damn press conference, you know, on this issue that actually would have members, former members of the Homeless Issues Task Force saying, it's a year later, we're coming together today because we see the City Council hasn't done anything. We want to present again these important issues. But, you know, they can't... I remember talking about this, how Brindell, who continues to disappoint me, Paul Brindell of the Community Action Board Shelter Project, You know,
sure, he's another one, though, when it comes down to the end of it. You know, he talks good and everything.
Yeah,
when it comes down to the end, he does the same thing everyone else does.
He stopped.
Nothing.
He stopped. His strong voice was able to stop the people on the Homeless Issues Task Force at midterm from in December demanding, having a press conference and demanding that City Council take action to suspend the sleeping ban over the winter of 1999-2000. And what his argument was, oh, we need a press conference later when we can do it much more effectively. And of course, he never organized such a press conference later. That never happened. Brendel was the only vote against the coffee clatch when we were in the California Homeless Civil Rights Organizing Project meeting a month or two ago. On the phone, he voted against supporting the coffee clatch 3.
Well, when the county gave that BS report just prior to the homeless, you know, report, that was such a bullshit lie. You know, of the content of what they say they do for the homeless and what they do with that money.
What report are we talking about?
You know, when the county
continuum of carelessness. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was just prior to the homeless. You know, given their report too, it was absurd. You know, our report sounded like that they already did half of what we were suggesting, and they don't.
What's happening at the Homeless Services Center? I know that every Monday morning we get this group, the Monday morning group meeting. That's Schmidt's group, and they're organizing this town hall meeting for June 29th, I think it is, and I guess Chaim Levin.
They're doing as much as they can right now, but they're just severely inundated with people.
Really? Is that the story?
Right. And I guess it'll be an all right radio station to say it on. There is a kind of a parking zone going on around there and Costco. And
I've heard something about that.
And
kind of a de facto safe zone.
Right. That, you know, that may be okay or not. You know, they'll probably check you out. Officer Seeley will probably check you out.
How is Seeley doing? Is he better than we thought?
I think he's doing much better. I think he's received an education.
Very good. Well, I mean, Seeley is
heavy. Yeah, I'd say it almost, because I was really perturbed with him because of, you know, a particular thing that Karen Gillette tried to get
well,
him to
do. He was her little thug, her enforcement agent, but that was some years ago, and he may have mellowed since then, you know.
Well, you know, I'm sure he didn't know what she was doing was unlawful. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Well, I just noticed downtown, the police are still harassed, as you may have heard, if you heard the last show, Steve Elliott, the rock man who was, doing his rock sculptures, and he had a sign that said disabled looking for change, and Sergeant Baker told him that was a false claim and a violation of the panhandling ordinance the Scott Kennedy passed in 1994, and he was of course full of shit. Even if he had been saying I'm disabled aloud to people, that, and he was lying about it, that would have been a violation of Kennedy's infamous law. But you can say anything you want on a sign, and we found that by examining the text of the law a day later. So Baker, as usual, has not got a very good grasp of the law in this community and seems to have this anti-homeless bias in which he simply enforces his own prejudices. We saw this with Jen Curry when he reportedly, by her account, smashed her into a vehicle for going the wrong way on Pacific Avenue on January 19th. And if there's anybody out there, by the way, who saw that incident, give a call to 423-HUFF, even if you did before, 423-4833. She is going to court, and she needs your help.
It's people like him also that, you know, he's on the board of directors of the HCRC.
Yeah, that is what makes
fact.
Them such a joke.
And, it's absurd, you know, Catherine Byers being on the board, too.
We're talking about the Homeless Services Center board.
And Donna, whatchamacallit?
Donna...
Murillo.
Murillo, downtown,
yeah,
merchant stuff.
And some of the most absurd people.
Oh, because you know, the Homeless Services...
They go wash themselves, you know, and,
well, remember that the homeless
dip themselves in antiseptic after a meeting at,
right,
the homeless.
Well, they don't have homeless people in those meetings. I mean, the woman who was supposed to be the homeless representative, Mama Joy, hasn't been seen in many a moon, as far as I know.
Yeah, I'm not real sure what's up with her.
I mean, it's not...
I think she was going to Hawaii, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, what this whole thing is, Linda Edwards called it way back in 1993 or 4. This is the homeless containment center. This is where homeless people are supposed to go off to be so they aren't downtown.
And the ruling elite, you know, are in control of
it is sort of a concentration camp in the sense that it is where people, if you don't go there, you're at a higher pressure to be criminalized, and if you do go there, then you get a little relief during the day.
The lack of integrity in all of this, all the political going on in this county is really bad. And you know, I just hope Mike can keep his integrity. I'm sure he can. I'm sure he can. I just don't see how he could lose it. He just keeps going, as far as I know.
He seems
he
to.
He just may run into a lot of people without integrity and not get anywhere, you know, when you're outnumbered so much.
Yes. Well, listen, Doug, I thank you for calling. Is there more you want to say? I'm going to roll.
No, go ahead, and I'll open it up. I was going to tell you I got it rolling for you.
Hey, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was old-time activist, formerly homeless member, and homeless issues task force stalwart, although he wasn't officially on the task force. He was the partner to the woman who was, Marilyn Weaver. Doug McGrath. And thank you, Doug, for calling in. And phone lines are now open at 427-3772, 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz. We have another half hour to go, and hopefully that half hour will actually be committed to tape, not that it'll ever be played again, but it's always nice to have a copy of this just in case somebody wants to hear it. We do a show twice a week here, we being me, myself, and I. Every Sunday from 11 to 1:30 in the afternoon, every Thursday from 6 to 8. Don't know how much longer these shows are going to be continuing, but as long as we can, we're going to be doing them. And we'll be hearing from you, too, we hope. And I encourage you to, you know, do call in, because what you have to say is important. And I'm pretty glib, but I've only got one point of view here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, so how much are you going to pay your producer?
Well, we're thinking of paying in donuts and hugs. That's the... so why, do you want the job?
I'm an aspiring producer, and I have nothing to do.
Oh, wow. Hey, you and me better get together.
Well...
That's great.
Hey, I wanted to say, when Schmidt was on,
yes,
and he brought that up, one of the things I wanted to tell him, and hopefully, is that I mean there's been so many times when I've been renting, I've rented different places, finally I'm stable now because I have a landlord that isn't greedy, which is so unusual.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow, what are you paying?
Usually I'm always thinking, oh, if I could just get a copy of tenant's rights to this person. And a lot of people in Santa Cruz are subletting. Mm-hmm. They don't pay the landlord, they pay the person that's paying the rent.
Right.
And that's even worse, because then it's all fuzzy. And so many people are going through psychic abuse from having to take crap, because if they don't, they'll be booted out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another issue that hasn't been brought up, because how can we even deal with that until we deal with the substantial physical realities of everything? So
oh, yeah.
I wanted to say that I would support him totally. That's the thing that needs to be done, is that landlords need to be registered. I mean, why shouldn't... I mean, it's not that they're being registered. They should know the laws.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the way, it's like so logical, and this occurred to me about 4 years ago, so I'm so glad to hear him say that.
Mm-hmm. So you're a renter yourself these days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I live in my own dwelling.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
But it's, no, I mean, well.
Your own shack on the edge of town.
No, I bought a trailer, a 14-foot trailer, and I found a place to put it.
Oh, that's
which
great.
Which is, of course, illegal, because we're not supposed to be in a backyard.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, nobody's going to do anything about it, really. I mean, as long as I don't have wild parties and keep the neighbors up and...
And don't produce the wrong radio shows.
Anyway, I found this thing in town. I wanted to call you up because I don't know who's putting this out, but I picked up this petition. It says, Petition for Voter-Approved Rent Control and Reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Landlords have been revolting against the Constitution and the Bill of Rights since 1776. Mm-hmm. They block non-property owners' right to fair trade housing by giving themselves credit for your monthly housing payments and labor. What to do? Join Renter Revolt and help in whatever way you can to freeze and roll back local rents. And then it says automatic membership in California Tenants Union with benefits. And then it doesn't have a phone number. It has a webpage. Have you ever heard of these people? I wanted to read something, another part of it.
What's the webpage?
It's Tenant Congress. tenant.congress@usa.net.
Sounds like Billy Cayley, who's also a tenant activist around. He's not all the time in town, but he has been active on the issue for a long time, particularly rent control. He wants to see rent strikes and so forth.
There's a sentence here. It says, we'd already have rent control if we knew that 1,000 student signatures would be disqualified for changing dorms, even as they maintain the same mailing address. Join us in putting this measure on the ballot for Santa Cruz County, and it says Corlitas Watson. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
So I didn't know about that, but that does make, that sounds like a little tactic there to...
Yeah, I think a broad variety of, initiatives from different quarters is always good, and remind people that on June 7th at 8 a.m. at Baker Square, Schmidt and Donna Dice will be there to sign you up to do work to start the new renter protection movement. That's what my hope is, a fantasy person that I am, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have it marked. I don't know. I have it marked on my calendar.
You better.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And those phone lines, once again, I should say that phone line is open. So give us a call, 427-3772, 427-3772. Here's a quick update on the City Council Coffee Clatch. I should say, well, there is no City Council Coffee Clatch and Tag Team Teach-In. That went on between the December 4th through December 27th or 28th. It continued a day after... Becky Johnson, Bernard Klitzner, and myself, Robert Norris, got enjoined, served with the TRO for allegedly harassing Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice's administrative aide, Anna Brooks, and that case is currently in trial now, or I should say evidentiary hearing, before Judge Samuel Stevens, Department 7, and it will resume on Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Come on down. You missed Tim Fitzmaurice equivocating, sort of smiling and snarling on the stand. He's quite a figure up there. But you won't miss the star of the show, me. I'll be giving. I'm certainly not one. I'm just one of the stars of the show. But I'll be giving my. I'll be confronting the city attorney. He'll be cross-examining me. That begins again 3 o'clock on June 1st tomorrow. At Department 7, Samuel Stevens Court, on Friday. But now the coffee clutch has ended because people didn't carry it on. And one of the reasons they didn't carry it on was because they had essentially criminalized the leaders. And that's why this is such a deliberate, arrogant, just blatant political suppression. Anna Brooks was never the target of anything we were doing. I mean, she was there and she had to deal with two or three people sitting in her office, or one or two, depending on the time. But, you know, I mean, and she would have preferred that we weren't there, and apparently it was hitting her pretty hard at a certain point. But, you know, all we knew was that she was sort of an obstreperous individual at times. At other times, she was, you know, fair, not fair, she was, you know, what you would expect of a person running an office, officious, in many senses of the word. Which you could have seen had you seen Anna Brooks testifying on the stand. She was, well, she had a very different perception of events than we did. She felt we were intentionally staring at her while she was doing phone calls, intentionally overhearing her phone calls. You couldn't help but overhear everything in that area, and we weren't staring at her. I mean, there were confrontational moments between Anna Brooks and the protesters, largely because of her kind of controlling attitude, and rather she had a tendency to talk to you as though you were a six-year-old with a hearing defect if she didn't like your response, or she was, you know, having a problem with you. And, you know, it's just her style, and her style was a little offensive to me at different times, but, you know, people have a different style. My main interest was in getting Fitzmaurice and the city council to deal with the issue of the sleeping ban over the winter, and I would like to now see them deal with it over the summer, because, you know, here we are in the summer, and though the weather has gotten warmer, the number of illegal shelter spaces has gotten less. And while it's good to hear that you know, there is some decriminalization going on kind of behind the scenes, which is what the last caller talked about, it's not very secure, because it means at any time it can be swept away from people. And I don't think that is, it's like an underground economy or a shadow economy or a black market. I mean, you know, it's nice to have if you have access to it, but, you know, people who are really vulnerable have to be very afraid of using it, because, you know, they can get swept aside, they can get arrested, they can get hurt, they can suffer accidents or injuries there. You need something that is legal, and above boards. It's like all these illegal units. You know, you got to decriminalize the accessory dwelling units. You got to put some real kind of renter protection, rent control in place. You've got to deal with issues that the city council has been absolutely unwilling to deal with, and not just, you know, because Ed Porter cannot wait for Marty Wormhout to give him the okay. I'm sorry, Ed, you have to be your own person here and get your shit together and, you know, move forward on this issue. You're a Green Party-endorsed candidate. You made commitments before you got into office, and you have not been keeping those commitments. Now, I got an email from David Silva talking about apparently a proposed change in the sleeping ban. This is Porter's secret plan to end the sleeping ban, which we've all been wondering about. Even Michael Schmidt can't seem to get return calls from Ed Porter, the great liberal council member who he lost my trust long ago when he committed himself to returning calls in November and then, you know, week after week, month after month, didn't do it. When I confronted him, he'd give me this tight smile and say, well, you talked against me on the radio, and I didn't like that, so I didn't feel I had to return your calls. You were disrespectful. Well, politicians, I'm afraid, have a responsibility to be able to weather uncomfortable criticism publicly. That is part of the game there, Ed. And if you don't like it, you shouldn't have run for office. And in fact, I think we all wish you hadn't at this point, or at least those of us who are concerned with the issues I'm concerned with. And I really would like to see some of these politicians, who I really regard as largely gutless, call in and talk about issues that concern people locally, instead of hiding behind their people like Anna Brooks and the administrative staff and the procedures of the city council and things like the courts, because the politicians are really hiding behind the courts. I mean, people are now somewhat intimidated from addressing city council members in any lobbying effort. At least I talked to one woman who was. She said she's not going to city council offices to agitate because she might get enjoined. But the fact of the matter is, you can still do so legally. There are only three people in this county, three people in this state, three people in this country who cannot go to the city council offices: me, Becky Johnson, and Bernard Klitzner. So I would like. I suggest you should go with the sign that says Robert Norris on it. I'm here because I think he should be allowed to be here. And since he's not here, I'm going to be here. And sit down, read a book, and have a sign that says end the sleeping ban. You know, don't cause any trouble. Just leave a note for the mayor or the council saying, I want to talk to you about this issue. It's time you did something about it. It's time you put the issue on the agenda. Because that is the essence of democracy. That is the essence of representative government. Or these people are not your representatives. Now, of course, they aren't. So it's a joke to begin with. But, you know, we are trying to activate democracy, to bring it back, and to actually get them to address human rights issues. Of course, it's going to be the community that addresses these issues, not these politicians. But it's still useful, I think, to proceed and to try to hold them accountable. Hey, come on down to the courts on Friday, tomorrow, and see how this thing turns out. I was rather... Well, I still think we're pretty much bound to lose this case, not because we're wrong. We're not. We're right. The city has... Anna Brooks's personal concerns about feeling harassed because we may have inadvertently taken a pen or two and then offered to replace it, she has a number of charges she's put forward, which we've really gone into one after another. Oh, she feels that we are mocking her and we are criticizing her, we are making her job impossible. But in fact, 95% of the time, we're sitting in the office quietly. The rest of the time, we do get into dialogues with city council members that came through, but that's the nature of the democratic process. I mean, it's, you know, that's how it is, particularly with city council members who are not being responsive to the democratic process. But at no time did Ms. Brooks, and this is what came out in the testimony and did not come out in the Sentinel article, which came out today for those of you who read it, at no time did Ms. Brooks or her superior, Suzanne Haberman, or her superior, Martine Bernal, the assistant city manager, or his superior, Dick, manager for life, Wilson, ever come to us and say, look, Anna Brooks is really under a lot of pressure here. She's got some problems. Can you address issues A, B, and C? You know, can you be more quiet, perhaps? Can you, one of you, wait outside for a while? Can you give her a break on Tuesday? No specific concerns were ever brought to our attention. They expected us to be psychic on these issues until they, Honor Brook simply went and got an injunction against us with the full connivance and assistance of the city manager, I don't know about the city manager, but the city attorney, John Barisoni, city police force, as headed by our favorite Sergeant Butchie Baker, who came and took pictures. And when I attempted to get him to, well, I'll get into that in a moment. But the point is, Brooks didn't bring her concerns forward in a way that could have been dealt with. And that's, you know, it's not, I'm not trying to just criticize Anna. I mean, Anna, you know, I think she's a fragile person, and, you know, she has her limits, and she's trying to deal with the situation perhaps as best she could. But her managers, her bosses, the people around her saw what was going on. They knew her better than we did. They should have known she was really experiencing some real problems. But they chose instead to use her, or to at least to ignore the situation, until she had nothing to do but to make this a huge public issue by getting an injunction against us, in which she must have known would be a huge political deal, which would subject her to still more pressure, ironically, you know, and have to go to court, and have to face a lot of, you know, questions in the media. This is not the way to deal with a person who is as fragile as I believe she is. Now, I got to tell you, you know, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Anna Brooks in other ways. I don't like her personally a lot, you know. I don't feel she's not my kind of person particularly. But, you know, as a human being and as a worker in that office, she has the right to decent working conditions. And if those conditions were becoming onerous for her, her union, her managers should all have been involved and informed. The city attorney, the city manager, the mayor. These people came through the office occasionally. They talked to her. And for them, for example, to immediately jump on the bandwagon of her getting an injunction smacks of a kind of political favoritism, you know? What they want, a political opportunism is the word I'm looking for, instead of dealing with their real concerns in a way that would help out her and also keep the First Amendment in place, respect the rights of the public to come and use that office in terms of lobbying the city council members as it has a right to be used for. That's, you know, that's the place where you meet city council members. So, you know, it's the center of the city government. I'm sorry. You know, if a person is finding it offensive to have homeless advocates there, if it's becoming wearisome and difficult for her, she needs a break. She needs a vacation. She needs perhaps, you know, some regulations put in place that would be of assistance to her, some other people helping her. But we don't need to suspend the First Amendment under these circumstances. And I don't, again, I get a little cranky because I've been subjected to 5 months of being banned from City Hall, and I don't like it. I mean, I've been allowed to go to scheduled meetings. I've been allowed to go to other offices on official business, but I have to do so under the shadow and the fear that if I stop and talk to a homeless person who wants to be interviewed, I risk a contempt of court citation. And I'll tell you, I know what contempt of court means. I've been to jail for contempt of court in San Francisco, and that was because I served people free food with food nut bombs in violation of a restraining order. I spent 27 days in jail for violating that order, and it was not a bad time in the sense that it had a good effect, but it's not something that you, I think, would want to do.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello?
Oh, hi. This is me again, Judith.
Yes.
Okay, well, you know, you fell from grace. You're only the second most annoying person in Santa Cruz this year, so that's good. I mean, if you were number one, they could use that against you.
Well, I resent that. You know, I mean, Bruce Bratton, he's the most feeble character you've ever considered. It's only now, after, like, what, 2 years in the Metro, that he dares to criticize the city council. He finally lost patience with them because they rubber-stamped Rittenhouse's development downtown. Well, Bruce, what, have you been asleep for 5 years? What is your problem, you know? Give me a break.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you, what was Tim Fitzmaurice's testimony like, and who is, you guys have an attorney, or?
Oh, well, the city attorney was his attorney. I mean, he was...
So how did he appear? I mean, did he lie on the stand at all, or... And according to you, I mean, or, and you don't have, do, the ultimate thing is...
No, it's not a matter of... Well, he made some statements that were false. I don't think he was intentionally lying. I think he... You know, he miscalculated some dates. One of the reasons we were there was to get a meeting with him and to get meetings with city council members. He claimed he'd already met with us at the time of the city council coffee clatch, and therefore we were just harassing everybody around and frustrated, taking out our frustrations on Anna Brooks and other people in the vicinity, because he was saying, you are, you know, being rude and disruptive, and I won't meet with you until you leave this office and stop harassing the staff. And I mean, it's kind of a circular argument, but that was the argument he was making. And we pointed out to him, no, we didn't meet with you at all during that period. We kept asking to meet with you. You kept refusing. Other individuals who came in and got immediate meetings, but you would not meet with us on these issues. We also offered to meet with him on issues about, you know, whether there was a problem around the office, whether our behavior was causing a problem, and to work with that. He wouldn't meet with us on that issue.
Really?
He wouldn't meet with us on any issue. Now, he did lie, if you want to say it's a lie. He has a different perception of things. He would meet with us in the sense that he would walk into the office, say, I want you to leave. And we would say, you know, Tim, take your Gestapo tactics down the road. This is supposed to be, you know, the United States where there's a constitution. You can, you know, go order people to leave your own house, go order people to leave if you're in the military, but don't order us to leave a public place. Thank you very much. And I actually tried to file a complaint with Sergeant Baker when Fitzmaurice did this, because I think when the mayor comes out and tells you to leave, that's an intimidating kind of behavior. And then he turns to his administrative aide and says, take the note, Mr. Klitzner, which is the person he was talking to, won't leave, and I've told him to leave, you know. Mm. I mean, in essence, I mean, that wasn't exactly what he said to her to take the note for, but it was, he in essence was intimidating Klitzner by saying in essence that he would begin keeping a record of everything that was in the office. So what we had to do in return was make tapes, audio tapes of every single thing that happened in the office to show courts and the public later that we were not engaging in behavior. We were not, quote, talking at the top of our voices.
Well, that was my next question.
Right.
So you do have videotapes.
We have audio tapes. But unfortunately, the audio tapes are not being admitted into evidence by the judge because he doesn't want to hear all these. He doesn't want to hear 20 hours of silence or people wrestling papers. He doesn't want to listen to it. And, you know, we've also had some internal problems with processing those documents. We were going to get them logged, and we never got them logged, so they can't really be properly introduced.
The tapes were never documented?
Well, the tapes were, you have to go through and hear everything, and then you have to write down what happens where, and that really never happened.
Uh-oh.
You know.
So this is an evidentiary hearing going on now?
It is an evidentiary hearing. It resumes again, as I said, tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
And they're going to decide if there's going to be a trial?
No, this is the trial.
Right. If you should get to keep the restraining order.
If we lose this one, the standard result, although it could be any result depending on what the judge wants to do, is that the order is kept in place for 3 years, becomes a permanent injunction.
Uh-huh.
So that's the story with that.
So have you any friends at CNN or Fox?
You know, it's interesting you should mention that. CNN called me today.
Well,
but not about my case.
Oh, my God.
They called about Jim Costner and the Columbus statue case.
Are you kidding?
How come this guy gets media and all I get is Uncle Dennis trying to shove my show off the air? By the way, Uncle Dennis is coming in here shortly with Earth First. That's in 8 minutes, and I encourage everybody to stay for that show. For those of you who want to get those Earth First activists working on not just animal and plant rights, but how about some human rights? That would be good. I could go for that.
Humans are living beings, Robert. They deserve rights, too. Yeah, not many.
Yeah, right. Well, let's get some lockdowns against the sleeping ban, Earth First. But that's another story.
Well, they're doing their part.
Damn right, man.
The trees and Ramsey Gulch with kudos and... I saw Butterfly Hill recently.
Oh, well, you know, me with a hoodah, man. You mean that's the one who sold everybody out for $50,000 up in Mendocino County? What's her name? The Butterfly Girl, and then got a book tour? I don't know.
She doesn't bring up for Earth First.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
What'd you say?
Dennis, who actually is my co-host for the last 20 minutes of my show, usually, or 10 minutes
what
anyway.
What did you say about Julia?
He said she's not a part of Earth First.
Well, it doesn't matter. The thing is, talking to you.
Yes.
Did you know that Woody Harrelson just recently did a huge bike tour with his family and his friends? And
I didn't see him sleeping on Pacific Avenue, I got to tell you.
Well, he's not a Santa Cruzan. He's talking about, come on now, I know you're local, but you got to think, see how you are smart and wisecracks. Full of wisecracks.
I am full of wisecracks.
So that's going to go against you with the evidentiary hearing, because
How about some dumb cracks? I can make some of those, too.
Okay, well, there's a website called voiceyourself.com. Woody Harrelson was going up and down on his bicycle. Okay, this is about hemp fuel. It's not about homelessness. I see where you're at. I get it. Yeah, I didn't call to talk about that. Okay, voice yourself, though.
Yeah.
Maybe, no, what I was thinking is maybe we could get Woody, this is what I thought just before I called,
right,
to come to Santa Cruz and get some, what we need is publicity on all these issues.
I agree.
And they rode bicycles from Seattle to Santa Barbara. They went to all the universities along the way. I got to see them in San Luis Obispo, world traveler that I am, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not getting any press. His wife was hit by a semi before they got to Santa Barbara, and it hardly got any press.
Well, look, I'm gonna cut.
So we should get together with Woody.
I'll give you his webpage later.
Okay,
you call Woody, get him to come to town, particularly around homeless issues, and I'll be a very happy man.
Well, I'll start trying to. You need a producer, right? Bye.
Damn right.
Okay, see you.
Thank you.
Hey there. So we're coming to the end of Free Radio Santa Cruz's prime time, top rate, top notch, one of the few shows that hasn't apparently fallen by the wayside, along with Uncle Dennis's ever-present and ever-educational Earth First show, which is coming up. And you've only got 6 minutes to call in at 427-3772 if you want to, and, you know, deal with my wisecracks and anything else that I may have said on the air. And I thank you, Judy, for calling in. I thank all the other callers for calling in. I think you make the show, because I can't wisecrack myself. That sounds a little too schizophrenic, doesn't it? I mean, I sit here babbling at myself. I had a lot of information I wanted to pass on, some good stuff. I'm going to summarize, if you will. Donna Dice, who you heard on the air, has a very good article on the housing crisis on her website, and her website, again, is obtainable by contacting her phone number at 426-0644. That's TRUSC, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz. Let me turn my mic up a little bit there. David Silva said that there was apparently a new proposal that Councilmember Porter has put forward to change the word sleeping to camping and the word camping to sleeping. But David didn't feel this had much of an impact, since Ed Porter has not called me, as you may have imagined and heard earlier in the show. I can't really vouch for what his plan is. He's kept it under blankets, so to speak. So I can't really tell you what he's up to. But David Silva says he wants people to write in, wear a blanket, sit in, teach in, sleep in, wake up calls, Chief Belcher, 429-1757. He's got numbers for everybody in the book. Fitzmaurice has got his home phone here, as well as his private line at the City Council, 420-5022. David is a real dynamo and often a lone wolf on these issues. I think right now he's a lone wolf. But I'm glad to see somebody is interested in getting this issue. It hasn't given up on this issue. I think it's really important. I think...
You have a few more minutes, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. There's also other issues that are important. For example, the upcoming Lock Your Ass Away in the Psych Ward bill, or Needles on Wheels, as some people call it. It's Assemblywoman Thompson's new bill to suspend the rights, limited rights, that people who are 5150'd have now, and put them essentially in a position where they can kiss their asses goodbye. This is a bill that it's AB 1421. I'm going to be talking about it more in the times to come. It's already zipped through several assembly subcommittees at the state level. It's not good. I'm hoping to get an interview with some folks I met up in Sacramento a couple weeks ago who are knowledgeable on it and can give us the skinny and the hoop-de-doo. Here's a kind of a quick description in the final 3 minutes. Psychiatric nurse, assembly member Helen Thompson, also known as Nurse Ratched, if you remember One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, she was Big Nurse, with her second attempt to allow preemptive, involuntary outpatient psychiatric commitment. As an opening gambit, an attempt at mystification, the bill's actual title is Assisted Outpatient Treatment, a euphemism. Well, this has got a lot of stuff in it that haven't got time to read right now. What it does involve, however, it involves extending the times people can be held. It involves lessening the standards. It involves eliminating the standard for refusing drug treatment, involuntary drug treatment. You don't get any more Reese hearings, as they're called, as I understand it. We're going to be talking about this in the next show, which will be on Sunday from 11 to 1:30. There is a chance I may get out of town for my own psychic and emotional well-being. And if that's the case, you're going to have to listen to some old show. But hey, think of that. That means next Thursday I will return. We have an incoming call here.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. I didn't want to be on the air, but I want to say I'm one of your biggest fans.
Well, thank you.
I really am. I mean, the more people put you down, the more I like you. Well, I think that even if people didn't put you down, I would still admire the fact that you stick up for people that are on the bottom.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And if you want to, you know, say something off-air that you can't say on-air, you can give a call to 423-HUFF.
Okay.
423-4833. But keep, is there more you want to say?
No, I really don't want to be on the air. I mean, I've talked on the air before, but not now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you again.
All right.
You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You and a lot of other people.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Poor Uncle Dennis has dropped into a coma. We hope he isn't sleeping at 11 o'clock in the station, because even though this is theoretically a domicile, it's also an illegal radio station. I won't give the address because the collective would crap in its collective pants, even though it's got a huge antenna on the roof and nobody can mistake this station. Get it together, Free Radio Santa Cruz. Anyway, I thank you for being with me. Dennis, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. See you on Sunday, 423 Huff in the meantime. Bye-bye.
That's mine. Get away from that. Get away from my tape. He almost got my tape, folks. No, man, don't let it go in there. Shit. Robert's trying to sabotage the station by pouring water down the transmitter.
Oh, well. FCC will reward me for this.
Anyway, it's we're trying to be serious here. This is serious radio. And seriously, folks, if you want to find out about private land logging in Santa Cruz, there's a forum going on right now down at Patagonia, 415 North River. And there'll be slideshows. There's folks calling in from Oregon about Redwood Empire and other issues around Santa Cruz County. It's a chance to find out what is going on with private land logging in Santa Cruz County. It's happening right now, as I said, at 415 River Street at the Patagonia store, and will be going on for a little while here. Also want to let folks know that on Monday at noon at the New Leaf Market, there will be a rally to save Boulder Creek. Why do we need to save Boulder Creek? Well, Santa Cruz Timber, which is a subsidiary of Redwood Empire, has just had approved a 70-acre timber harvest plan along Highway 9 just north of Boulder Creek. And we need help to save these threatened trees. Show your support at the rally in Boulder Creek. There will be a ride up from Santa Cruz. Rides from Santa Cruz leave from the clock tower at 10 a.m. The rally